Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
A smog continues to cover New York today, with many parts of the states also experiencing poor air quality. The smog is coming apparently from wildfires in Canada, with the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying earlier more and more of these fires are because of climate change. It comes as a report released just today has found global greenhouse gas emissions at an all-time high. For more, I'm joined by Peter Thorne, one of the authors of the report and Professor of Climate Science at Maynooth University. Professor Peter Thorne, you're very welcome to the programme. I might ask you about the what the Prime Minister in Canada has just said, Justin Trudeau, that more and more of these fires and the smog as a result will happen because of climate change. Is he right on that one?
It's something that we looked at and assessed in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Working Group reports. And yes, wildfires will become increasingly frequent with further climate change.
And that will, if nothing else, will crystallise for people the damage being done, because it upsets their transport plans and quality of living and affects people with respiratory diseases and so on. But your report today, Peter, it's extremely important. What have you found?
Well, we found that indeed greenhouse gases are being emitted at still record levels. The world is warming at about 0.2 degrees a decade at the moment, and it's entirely down to human influence, and perhaps most worryingly of all, in the 3 years since the Working Group 1 report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we've used fully half of the remaining carbon budget to avoid 1.5 degrees.
What if it goes beyond 1.5 degrees? What if it heats beyond that?
So temperature might seem nice and linear, but the impacts of those temperature rises are very much non-linear. So 1.5 will see us in a world of hurt relative to where we are now. 1.6 would be much worse again. 1.7, much, much worse, and so on and so forth. So the key thing is to halt warming as quickly as possible. We just know that this will get much, much worse the more we leave it.
And the report, your report today, and one of the reasons you're doing it is that you say it's important, it's critical, I think is the word you use, that policymakers and the public are made aware of how quickly the climate is changing and the scale and pace of climate action that is needed to address this. When you say then that it's harmful at 1.5 or 1.6, even worse, I think it's worth reminding people what that harm is.
It's all the things we already see, but on steroids. So we're already seeing, even in Ireland, the impacts of things like more frequent and extreme heat waves, more frequent droughts, more frequent extreme rainfall events, including things that perform rainfall events such as Storm Desmond and associated Long River flooding on the Shannon, or real convective events like we've seen in recent years in both Donegal and in New Ross. Those are the kind of things we see now in a world that is about 1.2 degrees warmer than pre-industrial. It will get a lot worse than 1.5, and we're staring down the barrel at that.
And if it's causing you, no matter what sector you're in, if it's causing you a problem now, just imagine it on steroids, as you say. But would you accept, Peter, that there seems to be some sort of a dissonance between experts like you who lay out the barefaced truth for everyone based on the science, and then the politics of it, implementing what is needed? Because when we come and we've had these discussions with transport or the agricultural sector in this country or households or whatever the case may be in the industry, when it comes to actually implementing what is needed in terms of policy, people will say, but what about my livelihood? Or our sector is doing more than that sector. What do you say to those people?
So if we want to halt warming, we will need to get to net zero greenhouse gas emissions globally. And that means that we will need action across all sectors. And the physics is the cruelest mistress of all. The physics doesn't care for any of our special pleading. The physics only cares, do we reach net zero greenhouse gases? And the longer we take to do that, the worse the impacts will be. And those impacts will be on people who say they cannot change, but they cannot necessarily afford the impacts that climate change will wrought on us if we don't take action.
But we
decade of critical action.
Yeah, and that's unavoidable, isn't it? But we do have this principle baked into our politics now, the principle of just transition. So moving away from fossil-based activity to something more green, something that's cleaner. It's a difficult, I mean, I wonder, have politicians and policymakers been educated on just transition, or have educated the public enough on just transition?
So just transition is what we absolutely need to occur. We need to recognise the people who are most impacted by the changes necessary need to be protected and need to be helped to make the transition. At the moment, I would say it's a buzzword. And there are some examples of it working at small scale, but evidence of it working at scale required is still at this point lacking. So we need to stop talking the game of just transition or talking the game of emissions reductions. We need to actually be doing the dirty work of having emissions reductions and having a just transition for individuals and sectors.
Very interesting indeed. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Peter Thorne, one of the authors of the report I mentioned, and Professor of Climate Science at Maynooth University. You can text us to 51551.